Book of Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, please. We'll be reading verses 22 and 23 to get started. And you can find that place in your Bible and read along as I read them for you. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. The Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you as we read the scripture for the word of God. And we thank you, Lord, as we read here that Jesus was on the mountain alone. It seems like he was alone a lot. He was alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was alone on the mountain praying. He was alone on the cross dying for our sins. He was alone in the tomb. And he alone rose again from the dead. He alone sits at the right hand of God the Father. He is the one to have the preeminence alone. And Father, I pray he doesn't have to spend too much time alone, that we'll spend some time with him. And help us, Lord, as we live our lives to be friendly with Jesus and spend some time with him. And Father, tell him how much we love him and appreciate him. And I just pray that as we hear the message this morning, you might stir our hearts to that end. That Heavenly Father, you might encourage us to our task. That you might strengthen us in our living. That Father, you might be glorified. Your Son might be magnified. Your people might be edified. Sinners might be saved. I pray you'd open the lips of your servant to speak in the heart of everybody, to receive with meekness the engrafted word. We'll thank you for what you do and give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. This is one of those passages that the reader can come back to repeatedly and see new and exciting truths for Christian victory and success. There are a lot of favorite passages. I guess this is one of my favorite passages, the story of Peter. This was Peter's shining moment. As we know, Peter, as we read about him in the scripture, he made a lot of mistakes and did some dumb things and wasn't always on the right side of everything, you know what I mean? But this was Peter's day. This was his shining moment. This was a day when Peter was walking with God. The event we're considering today happened immediately after the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. That's when Jesus took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, and he fed, the Bible says, 5,000 men besides women and children. So the number was much greater than 5,000. And it teaches us that little is much when God is in it. The Lord performs this miracle on a daily basis in the lives of trusting Christians. Every day, God takes little and does much with it. He takes your little life and he can do much with it. He takes your little meager substance and he can do much with it. How many times you've seen the Lord multitude your loaves and multiply your loaves and multiply your fishes to meet needs in your life. Now, the Lord Jesus just feeds a multitude. Then he sends the disciples to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and he himself goes up into the mountain to pray. And while he's praying, the disciples get into trouble out on the sea. You know the story. A storm comes up and threatens their journey and even their lives. Now this takes place between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. It is dark. They were, according to Mark, in the midst of the sea. That means they were about 3 miles from shore. Mark also adds that Jesus saw them. Where is he? He's up on a mountain, right? He's alone. He's praying. But the Bible says that Jesus saw them in the toiling, in the rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And he then came unto them walking on the water. What do we learn from that? Number one, that Jesus sees. Number two, that Jesus is aware. Number three, Jesus cares. And number four, Jesus will help. As far as the disciples knew, they were all alone out on this stormy sea at night. and their boat is sinking. And as far as they knew, this was it. They were goners. They were doomed. Where was Jesus when they needed him? Where was Jesus when they're in this trouble? He was up on the mountain praying. But listen, even when it seems like Jesus is far away, he is near. Even when it seems like Jesus is doing nothing, he's doing something. When we can't see him, he sees us. When we don't know where he is, he knows exactly where we are. When we don't think he cares, he's already on his way. We just don't know it. Just like these disciples, I think that sometimes we sell the Lord short. That is, we charge him foolishly with not seeing, not caring, and not helping. We wonder, how long, O Lord? Because we're prone to the same weakness as they are. And you know what their weakness was? Jesus said it right here in the text. He said, O thou of little faith. You ever feel like that person? You ever feel like the O thou of little faith? And then he said to them, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did you doubt my care? Why did you doubt my concern and my awareness? Why did you doubt that I knew what was going on? Why did you doubt me? Sometimes we're like that. I think there's a little doubting Thomas in all of us from time to time, don't you? And this, of course, also is the passage of the famous Peter walking on the water. But in reality, it really is Peter walking with Jesus. Peter can't walk on the water. You know that, right? So it wasn't a matter of Peter being able to walk on the water. It was a matter of Peter was walking where Jesus was. He was walking with Jesus. And when you walk with Jesus, you can walk wherever Jesus walked. If you're walking with Jesus and he steps off the land, starts walking on the water, you just walk along with him. You'll walk on the water. In verse 29, in the midst of the darkness and the tempest, the Lord calls to Peter and says, come, walk with me. Look at verse 29. And he said, come. What an invitation. Here's the Lord Jesus saying to Peter, come walk with me. Let's go for a walk, Peter. Dear believer, that is what the Lord asks of us all. In the midst of the turmoil and strife, the problems and the trouble, Jesus says to you, let's take a walk. Come walk with me. You come over here and walk with me. Let's get a different perspective on this thing. You come over here and walk with me. Well, you'll see it a whole different way. I believe that we see in Peter's miraculous walk on the water three things that are necessary if we too are going to walk with Jesus above the frothy and furious waves of our storms. If we're going to survive the storm, if we're going to rise above our circumstances, if we're going to get to the other side of our difficulties, then it will require of us three things. Number one, it will require of you, as a Christian, faith. Faith is believing. And what is it that Peter is required to believe at this point? The Word of God. Because Jesus, who is God in the flesh, Jesus, who is the Word, according to John chapter 1, spoke to Peter in verse 27 and said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. So the Word of God was speaking the Word of God. And Peter had to decide if he was going to have faith in the Word of God or not have faith in the Word of God. For Peter to get out of the boat in the middle of a storm at sea required him to believe the Lord Jesus. Peter asked the Lord, look at verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, sometimes we ask for things, I don't think we understand what we're asking for at the time we ask them. And I think Peter said, you know, Lord, if it's you, bid me come walk on the water with you. And then Jesus said, come. now the moment of truth comes. Now all of a sudden, I think Peter had a great big old apple in his throat. Mm-hmm. I think maybe Peter might say, well, I didn't really mean it. Sometimes we're like that. But Jesus said unto him, come. You know, it's that simple. How often do we find ourselves in desperate straits and we cry out to the Lord and He answers us through His Word? We read a verse. Have you ever been in a trouble? And you read a verse and the Word of God took away your fear? Sometimes we hear a message being preached or a sermon and we come and we're all in turmoil and we hear the Word of God being preached and God takes away our fear. Why? Because we have faith in the Word of God. Sometimes we receive good biblical spiritual counsel from someone and it takes away our fear. Why? Because they share with us the Word of God and we have faith in the Word of God. Sometimes we're in prayer and we hear that still small voice and it takes away our fear. We know what to do. We know how to act. We know what to say. We know how to respond because the Lord has told us through His Word. How often I've heard someone say to me this, well, I know what the Bible says, but. The but is what gets us in trouble. When we start, isn't that adding? I know the Word of God says, but. That means you're right now, you're about to put something else above the Word of God. Right? I know the Word of God says, but. Now, whatever follows the but is what you're putting above the Word of God. Because it causes you not to have faith in the Word of God. It causes you to doubt the Word of God. We allow ourselves to be filled with all kinds of human doubts about what we know God said from His Word. We try to work it out in our own puny little pea brains and it overloads our circuits. We try to figure it out or see how it can happen according to human calculations. And that's where the doubts come from, isn't it? When we try to outthink God. When we try to outthink God's Word. As if God hasn't thought of everything. As if God isn't aware of all the contingencies that exist. He just said to Peter, come. That's all Peter needed to hear. Why? Because he had faith. In Jesus. He had faith in whatever Jesus said. Whatever Jesus would ask of him. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Listen, Peter hoped to walk on the water. That's something hoped for. And Peter had never seen another human being besides Jesus walk on the water. That's things not seen. Isn't it? It would require faith on the part of Peter to walk on the water. He would have to believe the Lord Jesus against all his senses. He would have to believe the Lord Jesus against all his human understanding of how the universe works. He would have to believe Jesus and have faith in him more than all of his doubts. If he's going to walk on the water. If he's going to walk with Jesus. Did he believe that Jesus was who he had claimed he was in John 6:69 when Peter declared this? He said, and we believe that thou, and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Did you hear what Peter said? We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now he has to have faith in the one whom he said was the Son of God. Isn't that really what we all have to decide? Don't we all have to decide whether we believe or not? Do we really believe the Word of God or don't we? And so Peter had to have faith. But the second thing Peter had to have was number two, trust. You see, once we believe God, then we need to trust Him for what we've heard. For what we say we believe. Peter would have to put into practice the truth that he knew and the truth that he professed to believe. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And so now here's Peter on the precipice of the edge of the boat, and he has to decide whether he's really going to believe Jesus or not. Now, if he leans to his own understanding, this ain't happening, right? No way, Jose. I'm not stepping out onto that water. So he had to trust in the Lord with all his heart and not lean to his own understanding. He had to trust. He would have to either trust the Lord or his own understanding. Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Peter had to decide, can I really commit my way to the Lord? Can the Lord really bring this thing to pass? I mean, can this really happen? Could Jesus really do this? See, we understand how Jesus can walk on the water. But now it's time for Peter to trust Jesus to enable him to walk on the water. Can he really commit himself to that? Psalm 37:5 is a psalm of commitment. This word trust comes from the Hebrew word batak. It means to put confidence in. I like this one. It means to be careless, but in a good sense. It means you can care less what everybody else says. You can care less what your own understanding is. You can care less what the laws of physics are. If Jesus says, come out, walk on water, you go out, walk on the water. When you're careless with Jesus, that means you don't care about anybody else but him. Would Peter put his confidence in the Lord? Would he be so careless as to step out of the boat and onto the water against all common sense? Could he really trust Jesus? Faith is one thing, trust is another. Believing is one thing, trust is another. Trusting in what we believe will enable us to step out of our boat. Trust is the stepping out or the acting upon that which we say we believe. You see, I can say, Jesus, I believe you. Peter could have said, Lord, if it's really you, bid me come out and walk on the water. And Jesus said, come. He said, okay, I believe you. But showing Jesus he trusted him was when he stepped out onto the water. Right? Here, yeah, Lord, I believe you. Here, Lord, I trust you. I'm stepping out where I can't step out. I'm going to move where my common sense says you can't do that. You know, at that moment, I just remembered when we left downtown. We had a little building downtown, and I remember we took on this huge project, and there was somebody who told one of our members, they said this, they can't do that. They're right. We couldn't do it then. We can't do it now. But what we did was we stepped out of the boat into the water, trusting that this is where God was telling us to go and what God was telling us to do. And God has kept us walking on the water all these years. Amen. You know what he said to him? He said, be not afraid. Am I afraid to trust Jesus? He said, be of good cheer. Am I of good cheer? Peter, you're in the midst of a storm. Your boat is sinking. The night is dark. The winds are howling. And Jesus says, be of good cheer. How can I be of good cheer? And how can I be not afraid? Only one way. Jesus said, be of good cheer, comma, it is I, comma, be not afraid. It's what I do in response to God's word that determines whether or not I trust God's word. Now, let's do this. Let's take tithing, for instance. And everybody said, let's not. You say, why do you pick that one? Because it's a tough one. That's why. The question is, do you? Do you tithe? You say, what is tithing? Tithing is giving God 10% of your gross income. You say, well, I don't do that. Why not? Why not? Do you believe? Well, yeah. Do you trust God? Well, yeah. Maybe you're just not trusting the Lord, but you're leaning on your own understanding. Here's my own understanding. I can't do that. How in the world can I do that? Do you know what bills I have? Do you know what responsibilities I have? Do you know what expenses I have? How in the world do you expect me to tithe? That's human understanding. Amen. Trusting the Lord is saying, Lord, you said do it? Yep. Okay, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
See? Maybe because you trust what you can see and what you can figure and what you can humanly understand and not what God says. Luke 6:38, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down or shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all shall be measured to you again. You believe that? Yeah. Say, I believe it. Well, you know what? Do you trust God to fulfill it? How about this one? I know. I hear you're thinking in your brain. You're saying this. But tithing was Old Testament. Do you know tithing is Old Testament? But tithing was before the law. Did you know that? Abraham tithed before God ever gave the law. And tithing was in the law. So God just codified what was always right, didn't he? Tithing was proper and right and good. And God, when he gave the law, just said, we're putting that in there too. So now we're in the New Testament. You know, Abraham tithed before the law. The law told you to tithe. And now we're in the New Testament. There's tithing after the law. Matthew 23:23. Jesus says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So Jesus said, look, you guys, you got so keyed in on the tithing that you forgot the other part, the justice and mercy and faith. He said, these ought you to do and not to forget those. You know what? You do both. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, listen, grace doesn't take you away from tithing. You have grace and you tithe. You do both. Matter of fact, we ought to be given more under grace than they gave under the law. How do we know that Peter believed Jesus? How do we know? Because he stepped out against all human comprehension simply at the word of the Lord. That's how we know. We find this principle in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 18. It says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. And I will show thee my faith by my works. You can never show anybody your faith without works. It's impossible. Peter said, I have faith. Jesus said, show me your faith. Peter went, okay, I'll show you my faith. Huh? Some of you need to try that. Some of you need to quit saying what you believe and start trusting by doing what you say you believe. Trust Jesus. You need to trust him in a time of storm. You need to step out of the boat and walk with Jesus. You need to stop being afraid. Stop being afraid of trusting Jesus and just do it. Now, do you think Peter was glad he stepped out of the boat? Yeah. And I don't know anybody that steps out of their boat trusting the Word of God that ever regrets it. But I know a lot of people who stayed in the boat and didn't trust Jesus, and they always regret it.
Yeah, that's right.
We need to believe. We need to have faith. Number two, we need to trust. And then number three, obedience. Obedience. Actually, obedience is the result or outcome or product of faith and trust. Obedience is required. And obedience is highly prized by the Lord. 1 Samuel 15:22, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken than the fat of rams. Why is obedience better than sacrifice? Because obedience shows faith and trust. What will happen if I obey God? What will happen? Who cares? Trust God. Huh? Acts 5:29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. Obedience shows faith and trust. Obedience is a testimony. Romans 16:19, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. When we obey the word of God, that testimony goes out to men. And obedience is a proof of our love. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's obedience. John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. So if I'm not keeping his commandments, if I'm not listening to what Jesus said, if I'm not doing what Jesus asks of me, do I love him? Oh, I hear everybody say, yes, yes. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. So the opposite would be true. He that has my commandments and doesn't keep them, doesn't love me. You know, when Peter asked, remember when Peter got restored? You know, the Lord asked him, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? The first two loves, if I remember correctly, are the Greek words that speak of more like. Do you like me, Peter? Do you like me, Peter? The third one was, do you love me? Show me. Feed my sheep. I know we all like Jesus. And I know we all really, really, you know, Peter said, Lord, thou knowest that I really, he said, Lord, you know that I like you. Lord, you know that I really, 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 really like you. Some of us really like Jesus. And some of us really, 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 really like Jesus. But some of us love Jesus. Amen. Because all that in us is, and by his grace, we try to keep his commandments. You say the Ten Commandments? Read the New Testament. It's full of commandments. Think about it. The winds and the waves obey him. Matthew 8:27. The unclean spirits obey him. Mark 1:27. But believers often do not believe him. The Galatians did not obey. And Paul called them foolish in chapter 3, verse 1. When we do not obey the Lord, listen to me now, we are more foolish than the winds and the waves. Because they obey him. Now, follow me this one. When we don't obey Jesus, we are more foolish than the unclean spirits because they obey him. See how important obedience is? We take it for granted. We think it's something we can play with. It's a proof of our love. You know, Saul lost his kingdom for not obeying the Lord. And when Jesus said to Peter, come, Peter now had to make a choice. Am I going to obey or not? You think Peter was a little afraid? I do. I would be. But he obeyed the Lord and stepped out. And perhaps he was reminded of the words of David when David penned Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Maybe you're in the midst of the sea and the winds and the waves are contrary and the Lord Jesus is asking you not to be afraid and be of good cheer. Are you obeying him? I think sometimes we like to be afraid. We like to worry and we like to fret and we like to wring our hands. We love that misery. And when Jesus said, be of good cheer, I don't want to be of good cheer. Be not afraid. I want to be afraid. I want to worry myself sick. I want to fret myself into an ulcer. Well, leave me alone, let me do it. Maybe you're in the midst of the sea. And you know why Jesus said they could be of good cheer? He said, it is I. I'm here. We don't need to fear when Jesus is near. It is good cheer rather than fear because Jesus is here. Are you walking on the water with Jesus or sinking into the briny deep, trusting in yourself or your own puny human sources? Let's turn. We're going to finish with Luke chapter 22. Let's turn there real quick. Luke chapter 22. Verse 31, 32. Now, if you didn't pay attention to anything, pay attention to this. This is the good stuff. Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Can you hear him? Oh, Simon, Simon. Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Just before this, John records that Peter said this, I go a fishing. Somewhere along the line, Peter had gotten away from what Jesus' will was for his life. We see him follow the Lord afar off. We see him deny the Lord three times, and then we see him go fishing. You got it? He followed afar off. He denied the Lord, and then he went fishing. What was fishing? Fishing is what he used to do. Fishing is what he used to be. Fishing was how he used to live. Peter is out of the will of God. He has allowed his expectations to exceed his faith and is back to where he went when Jesus first found him. Fishing. Look at that word in verse 32. You see that word converted? You know what that word converted is? It's ekistrepho in the Greek. And here's what it means. Now pay attention. It means to turn about again. And he says, Peter, when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. I believe the Lord was trying to get Peter to get back to where he was when he was walking with Jesus on the water. He's saying to Peter, hey, Peter, you got to get back there. Remember when you were in the boat? And remember when you believed me? Remember when you trusted me? Remember when you obeyed me? Peter, you need to get back there. You remember that day, Peter, your shining day? Do you remember when you were walking by faith? You need to go back there, Peter. He said, when you get back to that Peter, that's when you'll be able to strengthen your brethren. Do you know all the disciples are out fishing with Peter? Because he's saying, Peter, you're not the Peter that walked on the water anymore. You've gone back to the Peter who was a fisherman. And when you get back to being the Peter that walked on the water, instead of leading your brothers away from the will of God and in out of the will of God, then when you're back to the Peter you were then you'll be able to strengthen your brethren. You following it? We can't help anybody when we're the old, when we're the Peter that's going fishing. We can't strengthen people when we're the Peter that's gone fishing. We can't be an encouragement and a factor of faith to people when we're out fishing. No, we need to go back to when we walked on the water. We need to go back to the day when we were walking with Jesus. Then we'll be able to strengthen people. Then we'll be able to encourage people. Then we'll be able to be a blessing to people. Do you understand? Peter had just gone through another storm, the crucifixion of Christ. And it threw him for a loop. And now he must learn to walk with Jesus, not physically, but by faith. Not in a dead, he has to believe not in a dead and buried Savior, but a resurrected and living Savior. A Savior who has power not only over the wind and the waves, but over death itself. Peter had lost sight of who Jesus was because he was looking at the circumstances, a death and a burial. And that's all he saw. And he went back to his human reasoning and his human calculation, and it brought him doubt and fear. And so all he did was go back where he used to be, fishing. And the Lord said, Peter, When you get back to that Peter that walked on the water, that's when you'll be able to strengthen your brethren and not be a hindrance to them. Let's bow for a word of prayer.